Welcome back to Get Obsessed with Success. This is Alpha Mama tuning in from a sunny Darwin in Northern Australia. I am loving Darwin. Darwin's the best city ever. So Alpha Mama, this week it is episode 12. We're talking about The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. So Alpha Mama brings you the lowdown on books that change your lives in the self-development space. We do the reading and research so you can sit back, listen, and take the steps to live your best life and move towards a grounded life that reflects your authentic self. Growing up, I didn't feel like I had a lot of great guidance. The lack of guidance in my own life led me to make choices accumulated in me hitting rock bottom by the age of 30. I felt like I had no one to turn to, and that's when I turned to books and researching how to live my best life. Fast forward almost a decade and I have experienced total transformation. At Alpha Mama, we believe it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. The only thing you need to succeed at your life is the belief that you can and the commitment to carry through with backing yourself. So today we are talking about The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. Now, who is Morgan Housel? Morgan Housel was a financial columnist, a writer and editor for Motley Fool and The Wall Street Journal. He is also the author of The Psychology of Money, which is what we're talking about today, which has sold over a million copies. And this book was based on an article, and I'm going to share the link in the website or the blog post for the article if you want a summary of the book. And it basically covers, you know, like 20 main points on the psychology of money. He's now the partner of the Collaborative Fund, which is an investment firm focused on supporting and investing in shared future. So its focus is on two macro themes, which is growth of creative class and the concept of a collaborative economy, which sounds really fascinating. So I'd love to actually find out more about how that fund works and what sort of stuff they invest in based on that philosophy. So Morgan notes in his book that there is a lot of literature around budgeting and finance. However, a lot of it doesn't talk about or account for the fact that humans are irrational and behave in inconsistent and ways that aren't reliable and are emotively fueled. And often that's one of the main issues with investing and with getting successful, is that, people are emotional and they get affected quite strongly, or they make choices based on emotion rather than on rational thought. So 20 different points. I've really found this book fantastic. In terms of thinking about, you know, some underlying mindsets that you need, and recognizing that it's not all as good or as bad as you think it is. So I loved his analysis of Warren Buffett, noting that Buffett started investing at the age of 10 years old. By the time he was 30, he reached his first million. And he mentioned in the book that Buffett returns on average about 22% over time, and he notes that what's really important in his wealth strategy is not so much the returns but actually time. So Buffett has consistently invested over his whole life, and if anyone else follows Buffett, which I'm sure you do if you're listening to this podcast, you'd note that, you know, he still drives the same car he's always had. He lives in the same house he's lived in since the 50s. He wears the same clothes. He doesn't buy stuff, and yet he's a multi-billionaire, you know. And it's this idea that he has enough already. He's got everything he wants. Like, even if he had $1 billion, he wouldn't choose to live his life any differently to how he lives it now. And he does. He has multi-billion dollars. So there you go. And in comparison, so he points out a good analogy or a comparison to this is Jim Simons. So Jim Simons is not as wealthy as Warren Buffett, but he's been investing for a lot less time. So between 1988 and 2018, he's also a billionaire. However, his returns are much higher than Buffett's. So he's averaged 66% returns on his investment strategy on an annual basis over time, which is crazy. But again, what he points out is that it's compounding wealth over time that's created success and created wealth, not so much, you know, like quick investments or quick returns or high returns. So what are the secret strategies to being a successful investor according to Housel? This is what we all want to know. So if you spend your income on things, you will have things instead of wealth. I like that a lot. And he used Rihanna as a good example, where she sued her financial advisor, and he said, I didn't think I needed to tell her that if she spent her money on things, she would have things instead of money. And I think it's definitely a good lesson for all of us to learn, because often what we see is we see people who look wealthy and we think they're wealthy, but they may not be wealthy just because someone has a lot of stuff or a flashy car or, you know, that sort of stuff. It doesn't actually mean they have any money. It may just mean they've got a lot of debt. And that's something I remember years ago. You know, I didn't have a lot of stuff with my ex-partner, and we lived in a quite affluent suburb, and, you know, I can't remember what our conversation was, but I remember saying to them, do you know what, we don't have any debt. We may not have all these other things, but all these people, they have a lot of debt, they have a lot of flashy stuff, but they're paying for it through their teeth, whereas we may not have anything, but we don't have any debt, so we're actually quite wealthy in some regard, you know, because we have freedom and we have time and we have choice, because we're not encumbered by paying debts constantly, which is a true freedom. And this is something Housel discusses, that in order to have the grit and resilience to save wealth, there's an element of not needing to be attached to money, status, appearances, or keeping up with the Joneses. So recognizing that status is an illusion. And a good example that he gives in the book is, you know, when you see someone driving a flashy car, you know, generally speaking, people don't go, wow, who is that amazing person driving the expensive car? They think, oh, I wonder what I would look like if I was driving that expensive car. And that's exactly it. You know, when we see people who are wealthy or who have a lot of status, we want what they have. We don't want, we don't see, look at them. It's very self-centered and self-interested. And that generally tends to be the case, is that people think about those people in terms of wanting to have that themselves. And so if you can shake that off and realize that actually it doesn't matter what other people think, because they're not thinking about you, they're thinking about themselves having what you have, then that's one way to liberate yourself from the need to have the status. You know, another way is probably to go get some counseling, I guess, which is something that probably many of us could you know, benefit from, I suppose. We all have our weaknesses. And another really good point that he brings up in the book is he notes it's likely that 80% of your investment success will be based on a very small portion, like 1% of your investment. And so recognizing that it's important to expect a lot of failure along the way, to your path, on your pathway to success. So a good example is, you know, Michael Jordan, the basketball player, where he is well known for saying, you know, the reason why he was so successful is because he actually missed a lot of goals, and he lost a lot of games, and it was on the basis of high failure that he was able to achieve such great success. So you have to be willing to fail and take risks in order to succeed, and you have to be willing to consistently fail over time and recognize that actually success may not look like you think it does. Maybe success looks like a lot of failure, and then over time you will experience some success over time through consistent strategies of investing. And we see this in business, we see this in online marketing. You know, it's people who consistently produce over time, and eventually, you know, through compounding or time or consistency, they then finally experience success. A really good example of this actually in the arts, I noticed on Facebook yesterday, Kitty Flanagan, who's, if you don't know her because you're not from Australia, she's an Australian comedian, you know, she said, oh, finally, after 29 years of acting, her show Fisk, which is about this like sort of washed up lawyer, which is pretty funny, she's been nominated for a Logie Award. And it just is a perfect example. You may work really hard your whole life, and you may never achieve any sort of success, but it is through the consistent, reliable, you know, investment of that strategy over time that you are most likely to achieve great success in ultimately. Another really good tip he brings up is getting wealthy versus staying wealthy. So recognizing there's one type of mindset for getting wealthy, which is sort of more of a risk-taking mindset, versus the staying wealthy, which is more of a conservative mindset to stay wealthy. And again, you know, a lot of that also comes down to just time and strategies over time. Like, there's always some risk element, I suppose. So recognizing that no one is crazy. So you may see that other people invest in other ways to you, and you may think, oh, that's a bit insane, I don't know why they're doing that. Well, recognizing that, you know, different people invest in different ways or invest in different things based on their personal experiences of life and their personal experiences of the economy. So different age groups will choose different types of investments because they've lived through different periods of time, different economies, war, different interest rates, etc. And it's those sorts of experiences, personal experience, that really drives and cultivates our mindset around what a good investment is versus what a bad investment is. And so recognizing that, you know, there are many different pathways to success, and those different pathways may look different in different eras or time periods throughout history. And just bring home again, recognizing that sometimes success actually looks a lot like failure. I really find this very heartening, you know, this sort of pessimistic outlook that, you know, there's a lot of failure involved in success, because it sort of does help you get into the mindset of realizing, you know, I just need to stay the course. I may have good days and bad days, but you know, pick yourself up and keep going the next day, because even the most successful people in the world have experienced high levels of failure in their life. And the more that you engage with that, the more you realize it's okay. It doesn't mean, you know, you need to let the bottom fall out of your life just because you've had a bad day, or just because it's been a bad year even, you know. And then finally, one of his great tips is obviously recognizing that compounding over time is a real secret to success. So consistently investing over time is where the results are, not being swayed by the dips in the market, staying the course with your strategy until you see results instead of bailing out at the first sign of hardship. So those are all really great tips and strategies. I really think this book's a great way to cut through some of the BS around investing and the quick fix or get rich quick schemes that you see out there, and just it's a great like sort of primer for your mind to just think about or be aware of what real grit and resilience you require to be successful at investing. So it's just, yeah, it's a good primer, I'd say, recognizing that it's not all roses and it's not all pretty pictures, and that you may actually be investing for a really long time before you see results. And what it takes is perseverance, resilience, grit, and determination over time. And starting from a place where you're enough, so having that self-worth to begin with, recognizing that you've got everything you need to start with, and that's the healthiest place that you can start from. And he does put some examples of people. There was this Indian millionaire or some multi-millionaire who ended up getting done for insider trading. And he noted the story was because this guy wanted to take himself to the next level. He wanted to be a billionaire, and it was through his greed that he ended up going to jail. And, you know, recognizing that what he lost is his status, his wealth, he lost everything, you know, just for this greed, and his freedom and his time, you know. So recognizing that wealth and status aren't the be end and all and end all, and true wealth comes down to having your health, loving relationships, freedom, and what he stresses the most is time. Recognizing that having freedom over how you spend your time is the ultimate wealth that any human being can experience. And I really love that as well. So in order to succeed, what you really need is consistency and self-discipline. And I was heartened while we were staying in Darwin, we have visited with a friend who's in the Defence Force, and they shared a story about how in the Army they teach their recruits about survival and how to survive out in the wild or in the bush or whatever, but recognising that what you need is to know what you want, and then create some boundaries and parameters around that, and then really sticking to those boundaries. And what that takes is self-discipline. And so sticking to those boundaries and then exercising self-discipline over time is what leads to success. So that is the show for this week. Next week we will be discussing how to create a vision for your life. So I look forward to seeing you then. Catch you next time. Over and out.